We're all living in a time of high stress and anxiety. And while there are many ways people have found solace and maintained sanity during this time, going for brief walks, hikes, and run outside, with the proper social distancing, of course, has been a great outlet. So if that's how you're choosing to get away from things for a bit, then Allbirds has something that might help. Introducing the Tree Dasher from Allbirds, the world's first performance running shoe made from premium natural materials that are engineered to perform. FSC-certified eucalyptus fiber uppers and ZQ-certified merino wool deliver superior comfort and flexibility, and their proprietary sugarcane-derived sweet foam soles have been reworked into a dual-density midsole optimized for cushioning, energy return, and stability. Allbirds also printed the Dasher's carbon footprint right on the shoe, so you know its impact on the planet. They've made the environment a stakeholder in their business, because when the planet wins, we all win. With the new Allbirds Tree Dasher, feel confident knowing that you can run hard and tread light on the planet. Find your pair at Allbirds.com today.
It's the Shipping Container, talking to you on a Friday, and do we have a treat for you all today. Not only are we joined by Randy Scott, SportsCenter's Randy Scott. Hello, Randy.
Hey, what's up, guys? I see a couple. I think I see the superstar you're referring to here.
Yes. Well, that's
it's not me.
Roy Bellamy is here as well. But we have a special Friday appearance from the man himself, Greg Cody. Hello, Greg Cody.
Hello. Hey. Hello, everybody.
I thought to myself, I was like, all right, we have Randy in today, me and Roy holding it down. We have a Greg Cody appearance on a Friday. We don't usually get a Greg Cody on a Friday, so I think we need to hit some Friday topics with Greg Cody. And the first thing that I think of when I think of Friday is partying. So I want to know, yes. Randy, I want to talk partying, our partying days. Roy, I want this too. First, actually, let's start with Roy. Roy, I want to know the most – what month of your life was the most debaucherous for you? Like, did you have a time maybe just out of high school when you just turned 21? Like, when was Roy partying the most in his life?
I've led a very boring life, Chris. I don't actually go out and party. I drink – but that's about it. I'm not going to go out to some sort of social function and, you know, get faced or anything like that.
But what about like in like your college days? Like you just didn't, I know right now, I know how you live now. You're very, you know, you drink at home, you don't go out much, but just in terms of like you don't have a moment in your life when you were just like, yeah, that was a crazy month.
No, I don't. Not
that's
at all.
Insane to me. I don't even believe you. Greg.
Yeah.
Randy, someone back me up here. Everybody's had debaucherous times in their life, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, college, like you're away from home for the first time. You're around other people. You're trying to show off, impress, that sort of thing. But thank you for asking. My most party filled time of my life was probably the month after graduating. You know what I mean? Like you come back, you're with your high school friends. You're all at like entry level. Maybe you're in a job that's going to allow you to like pursue the career that you have. I was temping. Right. Shout out Randstad or Ronstadt or however you say it, that temping agency. So I was temping, living at home, sleeping on my brother's floor because I didn't have a room. Because while I was in college, my parents split, and you know, so I go back to my mom's house. It's smaller than the one that we lived in. So I'm sleeping on my brother's floor and getting up and going to this temp job. So I'm telling you, every week it was happy hour Thursday, go out Friday, go out Saturday. And it was probably as much or more than college. And it was just a way to sort of, it was so, looking back on it now, so sad. It was so sad that it was just these guys who were high school friends, but hanging on to their college, like, you know, partying habits. It wasn't, it's nothing to brag about.
Is this pre stand-up comedy or post stand-up comedy?
This is pre. I was 22. Turning 22. It was that. So it was like, hey, I can go to all these places in D.C., in the D.C. area, where maybe you'd have to know somebody before you get in because maybe you didn't have an ID or whatever. And so now you have an ID and you can walk right into, you know, Rhino. Or actually, Rhino was 18 and over. Old Glory down in Georgetown, which I don't think is there anymore. Garrett's. I don't know if Garrett's is there. Who knows? But yeah, that was it, man. That was the month. That was the month.
And so do you have like a specific night? Can we narrow this down? Even you can say no, but like, I'm just curious if like, there's just like, cause Greg Cody famously a couple years ago fell into a bush when he was hammered.
Allegedly. We're not sure if that happened cause we don't have any video or photographic proof. Correct?
That's not true. There is video proof that I've shown many people.
Interesting. I had a night where I had to go to the hospital because I was bleeding out of my face from a fist fight.
Yes!
That was my college girlfriend's birthday because I was just a great boyfriend. And we decided to, my friends were going out in Chicago, like downtown, which was a big deal for us at least. And I was like, I'm going to go with them. And she was like, yeah, but it's kind of my birthday. And I was like, right, but you guys are going to like drink wine and watch Sex and the City. I was like, I don't want to do that. So why don't I go do this? And so 10 o'clock, maybe not even, and we're going into John Barleycorn's in Wrigleyville. And I'm the last of my group of friends walking up the three steps to get in the door.
Oh, God.
And I'm laughing at something my friend in front of me said as a group of guys is being thrown out. Like, their night is over at 9:50, right? I mean, they've been going at it all day.
They thought you were laughing at them.
And they thought, one guy thought I was laughing at them, and there was enough of a beat where I was getting my ID out or whatever it was. There was enough space between me and my friend in front of me to where I was cut off, separated from my friends immediately by this wall of human douchery that just blocked me off. And the lead douche canoe goes, what are you laughing at? What are you laughing at? And his friend, you know, the Chad next to him is already swinging. So by the time I process what is being said to me and catch something moving out of my left, your right, I turn and just catch it just right above my left eye. And it was January. It was the end of January in Chicago. So it's maybe 20 degrees out. You know, you Florida guys don't know when your skin is that dry. There's no humidity. It's so cold and dry. It takes like a feather hits your face and you crack. Like your skin is cracked anyway. So this fist from this, you know, adolescent Neanderthal just hits me and I'm leaking right away. And I'm thinking it's my senior year. I'm about to go like apply for TV jobs and like all that. I'm like, this can't be happening.
I love it.
And he tried to cross, he hit me and then it got broken up and he tried to cross the street to get away from me. And he couldn't tell that I could see where he went. So I crossed the street, chased him down, and like Terry Tate office linebackered him from behind. I know it's not the most manly thing, but I ended up going to the hospital because this above my eye wouldn't stop bleeding, but my knuckles were all cut up.
Oof.
And I learned that night, don't sass or try to be funny with an ER tech working a Saturday night.
Yeah.
Because she goes, hey, how'd you hurt your eye? I was like, I fell down. Cause I didn't want to get in trouble. I was at the university hospital.
Right.
How'd you hurt your eye? I was like, I fell down. She goes, where'd you fall down? I was like, some stairs. And she goes, well, how'd you cut your knuckles? And I was like, she goes, I think you got in a fight. And I was like, I don't know. And she said, well, if you got in a fight, I have to scrub that because like bacteria from a mouth, if you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she goes, so do I need to scrub your knuckles? And I go, she goes, what'd you cut your knuckles on? I was like, teeth. And she goes, human teeth. And I go, just smart ass 21-year-old. I'm like, no, I fought a squirrel or something. And she's like, oh. So she goes and gets the tougher plastic brush, puts iodine and alcohol in it. Oof. And just like old school, like washing clothes in the river on a washboard. Like she's just scrubbing my knuckles as hard as she can. And it killed. Oh, it killed so badly. So that was the last like fight I was in. That was my
Greg, can you compete with any of that? Can you compete with the heyday of partying days or a fight story like that?
I can't, but you know, I was about to tell you a lie, which is that my partying days were confined to my 20s. But then you had to bring up the falling in a bush incident, which was fairly recent, and that immediately made me think of the time in New Orleans,
mashed potatoes.
There, as a matter of fact, when. You know, you always hear about, I got so drunk, I fell in a gutter. Well, one time I literally fell in a gutter. A limousine was dropping us off at our hotel entrance. And I literally stumbled out of the limousine, fell right into a gutter, and Le Batard had to pick me up. I think drinking may have been involved that night, but I really can't
remember. Of course you're in a limo when you're hanging out with Dan. What do you got?
Yeah. Well, it was a cheap limo, but still.
I finally remembered my one debaucherous
night. Here we go. Yes. Yes. Give it up.
It wasn't really much. I was at a friend's house in Pinecrest, which is South Miami. And I drank beer, wine, moonshine.
Ooh.
And some other liquor probably. And then had Chinese food. That was not a good mix.
Ooh, okay.
So, unfortunately, got home, And I ended up horizontal trying to get into bed, and that was not the correct move because as soon as that happened,
spins the worst.
Yeah. And then I had to get up and everything came out. Luckily, I reached the toilet. Unfortunately, I didn't see where it landed.
Okay.
Yeah.
So all right.
I was done, went to bed, and now woke up and then went to the bathroom. I was at my dad's house at the time. And he said, hey, come here, clean it up.
Yeah. Greg, what were you going to add?
Well, I've had one experience with moonshine and one only. It was at a block party. So I was like five houses up the street and a guy literally had moonshine in a mason jar, you know, just like you would imagine it. And I had a few sips of that. And let me tell you, I don't know if it has this effect on everybody, but it totally stole my equilibrium to the point where, and keep in mind, I'd had probably the equivalent of three shots of moonshine. Ooh. I was staggering back to my house, weaving on the sidewalk. I mean, maybe it's just my metabolism, but it messed with my equilibrium something fierce. I would not have moonshine to this day.
Ooh. Oh, boy. I've had moonshine since, though.
I had one in college. I don't know. Are we still... Do you still want to go on this topic? Okay.
I don't want to.
So I had one in college summer in between, in between school years, I'm back home. We go into parts of DC for a night, drink. And my friend was going to Georgetown. So we had a place to stay. So there's no cabs. There's no driving. It's just, you got a place to stay. So go and hang out and then come back. And the same thing as Roy, like maybe I didn't eat enough. But whatever I did eat came out, right? Came back up. So, I was an unplanned house guest that night. So I ended up just finding a bed and, taking off what I had thrown up on and just finding a bed. I'm 19 maybe. Get in the bed and, it was one of my friend's roommates whose out of town girlfriend was in town that weekend. And he was not at all happy that I had I had claimed his property as my own. So I'm in that bed. I displaced them, but I wake up in the morning. It was a Sunday morning, and I wake up because our ride back out to the suburbs was a guy who was like, "Hey, I gotta go. I'm going to church with my family, so like I gotta get up early. Like this bus is leaving at 6:00. He's like, "All right, we're getting up at 6:00." So you get up at 6:00, and I cannot for the life of me find my pants. Which had the same splashback like on the ankles that Roy is describing. So I'm like, he goes, "Hey man, we gotta go, we gotta go, we gotta go." I'm like, "I can't find my pants. Where are my pants? Where are my pants?" So they go, "Just take the towel. Just take a towel. Like we'll go back." So I'm in like a t-shirt, a towel, and my shoes and socks. And I'm in their car. I'm in the Jeep or whatever it was. We go back. It's 6:00. I'm the first drop off. I'm the first drop off because I'm closer to 66 than anybody else. And it's my mom's house in this townhouse community. And I go, "Guys," I'm like, "thank you so much for the ride." It's like 6:20. I'm like, "I'm going to go in, sleep a couple more hours. Really appreciate it. Talk to you guys later. Great to see you guys." They're like, "Yeah, man. Yeah." I go up to the door. I get the key in the lock and they lay on the horn. This Ford, loudest horn that Dearborn, Michigan has ever put together. Like they're just laying on this horn. And I'm like, and I turn, I'm like, guys, and I'm in a towel, I'm in a shirt. I'm like, ugh. I got the key in the lock. I go to open it. My mom opens it as I'm opening it. My mom's standing there and she gives me the elevator eyes and she goes, where are your pants? I'm like, "Mom, it's a long story." She goes, "I don't even want to hear it." She goes, "Go sleep. We're going to talk in a couple hours." I was like, "All right." And she goes, "You're 19, Ren. You're 19. And I was like, "Yeah, yes. I understand. Yes, ma'am." Yes. And so, got a nice little talking to you. Yeah.
So good. That's never like, I've had that I've had one of those conversations with both my parents before. The go to sleep, we're going to talk when you wake up. That is just never a conversation you want to have with your parents.
Ever. Ever.
No. Especially if you don't have pants on. Greg, what is your most memorable physical altercation in your life and your most recent one?
I'm a pacifist. We used to have rock fights as a kid, but in terms of me actually throwing a punch or taking one, I can honestly say I don't know that I've ever been in a physical altercation.
Wow. That's impressive. Wow.
I've had heated verbal exchanges that might have led to fisticuffs, but didn't. But I don't think I've ever been in a fight.
Can we go back to the rock throwing for a second? Now, this like, what age is this? Because this seems very dangerous. Is this like it high school age?
Looking back on it, it was such a foolish thing to do, but it was a thing in my neighborhood. No, this was before high school. I would say we were, you know, in the maybe the 10 to 12 year old age group.
And you were with Paul Radke, who was like 30 at the time?
Well, this was the same neighborhood, but Radke was not involved in the rock storm. But, you know, we would have like little teams of, it'd be me and two of my friends against a team of three other guys. And we would, we'd have like an egg-shaped rock in our hand, and we'd throw rocks at each other. And it was the most ridiculous thing. I have been hit in the face with a rock.
Wow.
You know, and it's just, looking back on it, it was just insane,
now,
that game. Luckily, most of the throws were errant shots, but when they hit, they hit.
The only thing that I have that's similar to that and equally dumb is me and my friends, and this was older too, this is when we had cars. We had, in our neighborhood, we used to do it in our neighborhood, Dad, and we would use my vehicle, the Jeep Grand Cherokee, your old thing that you gave me when I turned 16, old Betty, as I called her. We would have egg wars. It would be like me and like two people in my Jeep Grand Cherokee. We'd go to Publix and buy like 24 packs of eggs. And we would like tell people what street we'd be on. And we would just like essentially like jousting, driving down a street, passing each other. And like, as we go by, it's like, ah! And like eggs are being thrown. And it was so stupid. I don't know why I allowed my car to be one of them, but I did. And I remember one time, and this was like we knew we were doing this. So if you hit someone with an egg, it wasn't like a mean thing because we were doing this. I remember one time I went out, I left the vehicle. So I'm like, I'm on foot, and I'm like, because they're doing the jousting thing, but they don't expect me to be out of the vehicle. So someone else must have been driving my car, so I'm out of the vehicle. And I throw an egg, and it one of their windows was down, and I got it through the window, and it hit like some girl that was in the back seat. Like directly in the shoulder.
Wow.
It was just, what an epic time. So stupid.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Dude,
you
really,
you let somebody else drive your car?
Yeah. Man,
that's also the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Randy, you never had anything, no stupid, like no egg wars with you and your friends?
Not egg wars, but I remember throwing pennies. I remember throwing pennies where if you were behind a friend or behind someone you knew, or even someone you didn't like, preferably a friend, and they had their sunroof open. If they had their sunroof open, you just tried to, it was like basketball. You from your car try to throw it through the sunroof. But more often than not, you missed, and then you just ended up chipping the top of their car, and they were pissed. But I remember younger than high school, but I remember being on buses and people throwing stuff out the windows at cars because you were driving away and they couldn't identify which one it was. And that lasted for about a week before people realize, like, oh, just everybody on the bus is going to get in trouble. Just everybody. They'll just punish everyone. So, but one kid took it too far and took like a container of, not a big container, but like a quart of like Pennzoil or whatever that was in the back of the bus in like a storage crate, and threw that out the car, out the bus window at a car that was coming in the opposite direction, splattered on the windshield to the point where they had to stop right away because they were driving blind. But like that could have that could have really hurt someone, but when you're 11 years old, it's one of the funniest things that you'll ever experience.
When I was in junior high, usually on the last day of school and sometime up into high school, when you're on the bus stop, you know, because there was the high school and the middle school across the street from each other. When you were on the bus stop on the last day of school, they would take super soakers filled with bleach.
Oh my God.
And water balloons.
It's like a dark turn.
Yeah. Wow. And they throw it at people on the street. Oh, and it's just like, that is crazy.
That is insane. That's borderline, like, I don't know what damage.
It feels like chemical warfare.
Yeah. That's what they did.
Like, I feel like my egg thing, while incredibly stupid, it wasn't as reckless because we were doing it willingly to each other. It wasn't like we were like vandalizing random people's stuff. Although, like, I'm not going to say that I never threw an egg. I'm sure that there was a friendly fire, but
so it sounds like you guys got off
over easy. Am I right?
Yes.
Wow. Randy, I'm starting to learn your cadences. As soon as you started speaking, I was like, here, it's coming. He's coming with it.
Wow.
That is my favorite thing, Randy, by the way. You on SportsCenter. Is that like a thing that you guys like pre-do where like at the very end you and Nicole are going to like throw like the wordplay back and forth at each other?
No, it's only if she – like I'll – it's always off of a story that she does so that I don't like waste anything, I guess, in that script. But no, we don't – we just ad-lib it. Like the producer will go, hey, you guys didn't write anything for the two-shot. And we're like, yeah, we're just going to wing that. And then they look at the story before it and they're like – oh, the bear story, and we're like, yeah, the haha Clinton Dix bear story. Yeah,
All right, so I have other wacky topics that I want to get into, but I feel like just so the ESPN suits don't get mad at us, I kind of want to talk sports for a brief second.
Why? Now,
Greg, if you were a betting man, would you bet that this basketball season gets played all the way through and we see a champion, or do you think that with all the like the uptick in tests and stuff and players getting it that like eventually they're going to punt on this whole thing?
I think if I were a betting man, I'd say they're going to tough it out and push through it, but not without all sort of calamity and test positives and controversy. And this whole restart this summer heading into football in the fall is going to be just one big crapshoot. You know, it's just fraught with pitfalls and all kind of things that can go wrong. I foresee a very interesting and scary next few months in sports.
Now, Randy, I want to throw that to you. Roy, you can get into after, but like, is it really going to be this type of thing where it's a matter of who gets, like, is it one of those things where if it's the 10th and 11th guy on rosters that keep getting this, that we're going to be good? And if LeBron gets it, like, is it really that seems like a terrible way to go about this?
I think it is a terrible way to go about it, but I think it's just maybe a reflection of like the star system in general, right? I mean, there's so many different ways pre-pandemic where stars were catered to and where, you know, an injury to a star is going to impact your team a lot more. Like, you know, I'm trying to think of like, I don't know, like I don't know that there was a specific injury to a quarterback that really led to like, oh, you know what? No, it's Brady. Like no more diving into quarterback's legs. When Bernard Pollard did it to Brady, if Bernard Pollard does that to, you know, Matt Castle, we're not talking about it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I could see that happening, but I think Greg and I arrived at different destinations by taking the first 9 stops together on the train, because he says they're going to tough it out. I say that they won't be able to finish it. And I think that goes for baseball. I think that goes for NBA. And I think it goes for even hockey. I just think that unless you can do what like the European Golf Tour, I think, is doing, where media, coaches, athletes all travel in a bubble and they're not allowed out, and you can control the hotel staff and everything else. But I mean, it was a one trip to a bar for what, the Orlando Pride, and now they can't play in the NWSL.
Yeah.
So I just think that like it just takes one, unfortunately. And yeah, that's what's going to happen. Roy, what about you?
I'd like to know what the contract language in these revised CBAs are, and if the teams and the leagues are liable for any lawsuits if the athletes or the staff members, because you got to remember these equipment managers have to handle the equipment and the uniforms and whatnot, you know, for them to get cleaned and everything. If these teams and the league are liable for lawsuits, I would like to explore that.
Greg, do you know any more about that than I do? I don't know what the CBA language is.
No, I don't, to be honest with you. I know that, baseball teams are grappling with who can have fans in a limited number. And the Marlins, a week ago, I would say the Marlins would have been one of those teams that could have had a very limited number of fans in the stands, which is, I guess, typical for a Marlins game anyway. But now
that joke is made enough, okay? It's like the easiest joke in all of sports.
It's fabulous. Fabulous.
Listen, nah, it's not that great.
Low-hanging fruit still has nutritional value, Greg.
There you go. Thank you, Randy.
Right, well, I hate to say so. Yeah.
But listen, consider this. All these teams are going to Orlando, right? Florida is spiking right now. The test positives in Florida have set state records the last couple of days, first and second most. And so sports is restarting, not when this is ebbing and under control, but when it seems to be surging again. So it's just a real cocktail of terribleness.
But don't do this to me, okay? I'm a Marlins fan, and with a small season, we have more of a chance. Like, all the bad teams want to get this season in so badly. It's like, all it takes is a hot start, and we're in the hunt. The Marlins are already, they're in it right now. There's only 60 games left in the season, and they're in it.
Yeah.
So, like, that never happens. So, like, as a Marlins fan, I'm just like, please, let me see some baseball.
I mean, last year the Nats weren't even over 500 through 60 games.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, your eventual World Series champ is like six games under 500. So, no, it is so open. I mean, on the SportsCenter side, we had Buster Olney on, and he said the Rays are his pick to go to the World Series out of the American League. He said, Mark Teixeira likes the White Sox. Like, you're right. Yeah. There are teams that, like, over 162 would get sort of, you know, weed it out, but in a 60-game sprint, it could happen.
Somebody has to get out there with the take. I mean, I'll do it. It's the Marlins. They're making the playoffs. There, I said it. I'm the first person. Mark it down.
Yes.
All right, enough of sports. Greg, if you could eliminate one day of the week, okay? We're running it like we have a new president. This is not political. I'm just saying, in a hypothetical world, the new president that we've elected has decided that we are going to now go by 6 days a week instead of seven. So we have to decide which one we want to get rid of. Which day are we getting rid of, Greg Cody?
You know what? I'm going to get rid of hump day. I'm going to dispense with Wednesday. You know, it's the dead center of the week. you know, it's you Randy's feel like offended. You're treading water. I mean, why not, right?
Now before Randy gets in, because the face Randy is making right now, like, he just has no time for that answer. I have to say, if there's a, I think that the top two easy choices are Tuesday and Wednesday. And I'm going with Tuesday. I'm not going with Wednesday, especially after seeing Randy's face. So I'm going to go with Tuesday. Randy, what are your thoughts here?
Tuesday is the only acceptable answer. You can't eliminate Monday because of Monday Night Football. Sunday, you get the church involved. Very powerful.
Yeah.
Saturday's college football. Friday is the pre-end. Thursday, a sneaky good pre-end. Wednesday, hump day. I'm not going to touch that. Tuesday also eliminates, if you get rid of Tuesday, it eliminates the I don't know, the redundancy of having a T in your MTWTFSS. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which this is not a knock on Greg. This is not a knock. This is just like, if you have one of those pill dispensary things, there's no confusion when you pop open the M for Monday, the T for the Tuesday pills, all that stuff. Now you don't have to worry like, wait, is this Thursday? Is this Tuesday?
Right.
You just have the one T. So I'm actually, it's a health benefit to get rid of Tuesday.
You guys got
to
remember, we're losing hump day regardless, whether Wednesday stays or not, because now the workday is 4 days. So it's like, or like, you know what I mean? Cause hump day is now, never will be the same hump day regardless of what day you take. It's a real confusing thing. Roy, what do you think?
Wednesday. Let's get out of here with that, man.
Wow.
It's an easy decision.
Thank you, Roy.
You're welcome, Greg.
Did we come up with a consensus, though? Like, nobody is saying any day other than Tuesday or Wednesday, right? I feel like some people might say Monday. You get rid of Monday. Because, Randy, I know you said Monday Night Football. We could still have, like, it would be Tuesday Night Football. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if we got rid of Monday, like, you know. Just...
I understand.
Go ahead, Greg.
But case of what? The Tuesdays? Like, yeah. I don't know.
Maybe instead of eliminating one day, we can eliminate two half days, in which case I would eliminate, like Monday morning and Friday afternoon, maybe.
I'm not a big fan. Actually, there is good TV. I was going to say I'm not a big fan of Sunday evenings, because then you just, like, have to start mentally preparing for Monday. But, like, if I lost Sunday evening, then I would lose a lot of good TV. So I don't know. This is a tough game. I don't think it's an easy decision.
It is.
To make that, it's a ridiculous premise of doing half days instead of full days, though. Like,
that was an interesting curveball.
And Greg,
I wasn't expecting that.
And Greg, can I just talk about your voice for a second? Because we often record these local hours early in the morning, and then your voice sounds kind of meh, and you use as an excuse how your voice is not great early in the morning. But right now, we're recording this local hour that's released on Friday on Thursday afternoon, and it's close to 2 p.m., and your voice still sounds meh.
What do you mean by that? you're right. I mean, this is not my voice. I don't know. My wife's trying to push me to go see an ENT. I don't know. Maybe I should start drinking hot tea. I don't know what the deal is.
Nope. I don't want people to be alarmed corona-wise, even though he might have it. But he's been doing this for like 2 years. So this is not corona-related. He just has, like, what is it, post-nasal drip or something is like what they say you have?
I mean, I don't know. My voice is lowered an octave, and whenever I try to sing, I can't hit high notes like I used to.
Try to hit a high note right now. Give us a high note.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't do it.
Come on, try.
No,
I mean, little Frankie Valli.
Yeah, little Frankie Valli.
Little Falcons.
No, I couldn't. It would actually hurt if I tried that right now.
Okay.
All right.
So I feel like we've solved it. All right, we're getting rid of Tuesday.
Yep. Wait, I thought Roy and I were for Wednesday. What happened?
But... No, I think Randy and I are right here. I think Tuesday's the day.
I think you're wrong. How about that?
How about that?
So you're going to eliminate Greg Cody Tuesdays on the Levitard Show. Is that what you're saying?
Wow. Once again, Greg Cody makes something about him.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody. Have a good weekend.
Get out of here.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.